preceding announcement is paid for by Two Best Friends.
Welcome to the best of the Two Best Friends Las Vegas edition. I'm Jay. Today's show is going to be a one-stop shop for all the Vegas stories we've shared so far. From elevators to monorails to doo-doo suits, we've got you covered. On behalf of my co-host Johnny, the Two Best Friends proudly present the best of Las Vegas.
Do you remember, I think it might have been the second or third time we went to Vegas. I mean, for those of you who don't know, me and Johnny, we went to Vegas about three times in the span of, what was that, like 12 months?
That was probably maybe. I would tell you, two of the trips were in the span of 4 months.
Right, right. And the other one,
I think it was a year afterwards.
Right, so let's call it 16 months, you know, if we're being generous. But, dude, we loved Vegas.
Man. Oh, gosh, did we love Vegas.
And I think this might have been the second. It's probably the third time we went, because the first time we went out there, and this is a story for another podcast. We actually went into the UFC headquarters.
Yeah, that was cool.
Had an impromptu tour. You got to tune in to listen to that at some point. But the second time we went was around Halloween, and we went on this club crawl.
Yeah. It was a Halloween club crawl, and I believe it was called the World Club Crawl.
That's right. And do you remember part of the club crawl, obviously, I mean, they run that thing all year, but during Halloween, you know, it was a special Halloween edition. So you dressed up, you know, just like you do at any Halloween party. Do you remember who you went as, Johnny?
Yes, I do. And before we get into that, let me just tell you that if you have never been to Las Vegas during Halloween, you have not done Halloween until you've been to Las Vegas during Halloween. But Jay, to go ahead and answer your question. So ladies and gentlemen, when was this? 2011?
This is probably 2011.
Yeah. 2011. And right then and there is during the rise of Cuban sensation, Mr. Pitbull.
Darling!
Mr. Worldwide himself, Mr. 305. Mr. Worldwide, yeah, I went as Pitbull.
You went as Pitbull. Do you remember who I went as, by any chance?
Let me just do a little time travel. I believe I do remember who you went as. May he rest in peace, but I believe you went as Black Steve Jobs.
That's right. And I think, you know, more so than me, I think you were one of the stars of that entire thing because you wore a sterling white suit from head to toe and a bald cap on the top of your head, and you really pulled off the Pitbull thing.
All white shoes, white socks, white pants, white belt, white dress shirt, white coat, and yes.
And everything authentic. Everything authentic. And I think it was one of the highlights of that entire night. Let's fast forward a year later. So that was the second time we went to Vegas, which would have been, October of 2010. And then the next year we went again because we had such a good time on that club crawl. And again, there's so many stories from Vegas that we'll have to bring up. But this is tell you something you don't know. And there's a lot of things that you do know. But let's talk about the next year in Vegas where we went back to the club crawl and we wanted to reprise the Pitbull suit.
Yeah.
So you remember the second time we went back, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I really remember is we get there and we take it out of the zipper bag.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what the hell happened, but we took we take that thing out of the zipper bag and there's like this monstrous jizz stain on the back of the freaking suit.
Right. Now, that's funny because that's kind of where I'm going. So do you remember like how we planned the entire trip? Like we'd obviously go out there, you know, we'd hit up the strip, you know, at night we'd go to whatever club was popping and hopping and stuff like that. But during the day, do you remember what we did during the day?
Oh man, who could forget what we did during the day, dude? We'd go play golf.
That's right. We'd go play golf. So One of the days we went out to some place just outside the city. I forget what it is now. It's just one big desert. But we played golf. And then after playing golf, we wanted to take, I guess, your suit and maybe what I was wearing. I didn't go as Black Steve Jobs the third year to this small dry cleaner. We're done golfing. And I don't know if you remember, but we went up to this dry cleaner and we gave your suit and whatever I had to dry clean, because I think the club crawl for that Vegas trip was that night.
I believe it was for that night. And we took it up there, we dropped it off. They actually said they'd have it done within 12 hours.
Right, and I think they did. I totally think they did, because I remember we picked it up, we drove it back to, where did we stay the third year?
Third year, we stayed at, it was one. We stayed at the Bally's Hotel. Okay.
Yeah, right. I think we still owe them an elevator. there's another story about the elevator at Bally's, but we'll talk about that again later. So we bring the suit back from the dry cleaners, and we're getting ready to go out for the club crawl. We had such a good time the year before, and I remember we were putting the suit on. So back to what you mentioned a few minutes ago. You unzip the bag, right, and you open it. Now, I think you're kind of misremembering it, because what it was is you put the pants on, you put the belt on, you put the shoes on and all this stuff. And then it was time to put the jacket on, right? So, you know, like two dudes getting ready to go out, you say, hey, bro, get me my jacket and put it on, you know, and fix the collar and whatnot. And then I come, I give you the jacket, you put it on, and I think at that moment, looking in the mirror, you turn around and you saw this big doo-doo stain.
That's right.
Yes. On the collar. Right. Yes. Right.
Yes, it was probably one of the nastiest things I've ever seen on that suit since I've owned it.
Right.
But the thing is at that point, do you freak out? Do you just say...
Oh, you freaked out, man.
Yeah, you know, we can't lie. Yeah, I definitely freaked out, but... You know, at that point, you stop and you say, okay, I can either go change or we can make this happen.
But the thing is, change into what, man? This was your gimmick, man. This is it. Like, because we walked around without that suit during the day and no one really looked at you, man.
We were just like everybody else.
Dude, you walk out there in that suit, dude, you could hear just the people, man. Just the people saying things like, oh, that dude's gonna get something tonight. You know, dude, you were something, and just the fact that I was next to you, hanging out with you, yo, I felt like someone too.
Yeah, but, you know, again, the suit got put on, monstrous doo-doo stain. What do? You do what two best friends would do. You help each other out.
That's right. That's right. And I don't know if you remember, I'm sure you'll never forget this. So imagine this. You're looking in the mirror. I'm behind you, you know, helping you get your jacket on, and we see this just massive doo-doo stain on the back of your collar.
Dude, before we even, how the hell did that thing even get there, man?
Well, the thing is, obviously something went down at that dry cleaners, man.
Yeah.
And I thought when they gave it to us, we kind of inspected it. I thought it looked clean. Obviously something went down. So you're putting the jacket on. Dude, it's probably 20 minutes before we have to go meet up with the beginning of the club crawl.
Right,
because
right.
I think they would meet up at the Hard Rock or something there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because you got to play beer pong.
That's right. That's right. But do you remember what I did?
Dude, like only a best friend would, in like 5 minutes, took off the jacket, went back to his Caribbean roots.
That's right.
To his Caribbean roots. And whooped up some kind of concoction on a hand towel and just started scrubbing.
That's right.
Just started scrubbing. Scrubbing, scrubbing, scrubbing. And no lie, that doo-doo stain was off in 5 to 7 minutes.
And let me tell you, man, it's a combination of shampoo, hot water, and will and determination. And that thing came out. And keep in mind, this is not an off-white suit. This is not a tan suit. This is a sterling white suit that if you don't put in the time, you're going to see doo-doo on that collar all night long.
All night long.
All night.
All night long.
Doo-doo.
Dude, you came through like a champion.
Right. What's the name of this segment? The name of this segment is Tell Me Something. So all this stuff we've been talking about, you already know. So maybe there's something about this story that you don't really know.
Yeah. Or maybe it's something that we'll share with you a little bit later.
Let's talk about it right now, dude. It's been how 7 years, 8 years since then. Let's go back. So do you remember when we'd go upstairs down, you know, I guess in the lobby area, there was this hot dog place right by the elevator. So every time we'd go up, I'd say, dude, I'm going to stop for a hot dog.
And I never understood why you did that, because those hot dogs were like $5.50.
That's right. But you know, man, a hot dog's a hot dog. But off to the side, they had like other like assortments of like, you know, chips and candy and all kinds of other stuff like that. And I remember when you were taking a shower and getting ready, I said, you know what? I haven't eaten for 15 minutes. I'm hungry. I'm going downstairs. I'm getting something to eat. So I remember going down there, trying to get a hot dog, but the hot dogs are out. So I said, what else do you got? And there was a Butterfinger.
Oh, gosh.
So I remember getting the Butterfinger and going to town on that Butterfinger. To the point where I was done eating that Butterfinger from the time I got to the elevator, going all the way up to the 15th floor where we were, I guess, at the time.
That definitely had to be record time.
Yeah. So I get back into the room. Dude, you're probably just now getting out of the shower. You were dressed, right? So, you know, you were halfway dressed and you said, hey, dude, could you grab my jacket? And, dude, I just walked in, so I grabbed your jacket, right? Dude, I throw it over your shoulders, and to my shock and horror, man, you say, what the hell is on my collar?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth for the very first time has just come out on this podcast to how that freaking doo-doo stain got on the collar of my jacket.
And the thing is, man,
Oh, my gosh.
When you said, what is that? I was going to tell you, oh, my God, dude, I just ate a Butterfinger. But you blamed the dry cleaners, man, and I had to go along with it.
My gosh.
But I'll also tell you that I went to town. I got that concoction out because I knew I couldn't let you go out there like that, because last year you were on fire with that suit.
You know what? Either way, thank you for helping me get the doo-doo out of my jacket. I believe we tore it up again that night.
We did.
And, you know what? If you haven't gone to Vegas, Vegas is one of the greatest places on earth. Just make sure you have your dental insurance.
That's right. And, I recommend the hot dogs and the Butterfingers.
Hey, by the way, thanks for telling me something good.
Oh boy, this is a good one.
Yeah. Should I tell the fine audience about this? I mean, I don't know. It's a story that I don't think you've told too many people yourself in your personal life, have you?
No, actually, I don't even know that my spouse knows this one.
Right. Well, if she's listening, and I'm sure she's subscribed, she's going to find out today.
Well, I guess it is what it is, man. Let's get to it. Yeah, so this actually picks up right after our first story with the big doo-doo stain on the back of my suit. So what we're going to do is we're actually going to pick it up from there. So the suit's ready to go. If you didn't hear episode one, please go check it out. But the suit is clean, and so we're going to go take shots.
Right.
There's only one way to do that, and that's with Patron.
That's right. I mean, getting your suit ready and figuring out that fiasco was stressful. So it's like, hey, come on, man, let's relax. We're about to go on this club crawl. We went on one the year before. We had so much fun. We just wanted to at least have as much fun, if not more.
So we whip out the Patron and start pouring shots. I had at least two shots before I left.
Yeah, I probably had at least that much. And, you know, we said, you know, listen, listen, this is the highlight of these trips. I mean, we go out there for a week at a time. We go golfing, but the highlight of the trip is really that this club crawl. So we were jacked.
And so so we take the shots. We're loosened up, ready to go out. So we open up the door, shut it outside of the hotel room, and we are headed to the elevator.
And you know what, man? I remember walking down this hallway. It was at the, I think, the Bally's in Las Vegas, right there in the middle of the strip. I remember walking down the hallway thinking, oh my God, this is going to be one hell of a fun night, and it's just beginning. This is probably, what, 10 o'clock local time? So, you know, it's in Las Vegas, man. 10 o'clock. Dude, the night is just beginning.
And how could it not be, dude? We're going on a freaking club crawl. If you've never been on a club crawl in Vegas, I know they have it in Vegas. I think they have it in Miami. They have it in whatever the college town is in Arizona. Just pay the money and go on a club crawl. You'll meet a lot of amazing people. Have a great time. And you know what, man? Sometimes you have no idea what'll happen at the end of that.
Dollar!
So we're walking down this, and you know, I guess we're running slightly late because of the whole suit fiasco.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
The doo-doo suit. And, you know, we're like, let's get down there. Let's get to this place and let's get this party going. So we get into the elevator.
And so we get into the elevator.
Now, keep in mind, two shots of Patron each, at least.
And the door closes. And well, we get the idea. First of all, let me preface this. If anyone listening to this does not watch WWE, I recommend that you go on YouTube and look up the Millions of Dollars Dance. What's the tag team that did that?
That was Titus O'Neil and Darren Young.
The Primetime Players.
The Primetime Players, yeah.
So if you don't know who that is, I would recommend you go to YouTube and look up the Millions of Dollars Dance. And we, in our mildly drunken state of mind, said, you know what? This is Vegas. We're in an elevator. Let's do the Millions of Dollars Dance.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like $1 million. You felt like $1 million. Why not? So basically, the Millions of Dollars Dance is kind of like, you know, you stand side by side, you interlock arms over each other's shoulders, and you sway back and forth, and you say, millions of dollars. So, I mean, that sounds fun. That seems fun. So we hit the first floor. We're probably on the 15th or 16th floor. It's going down. We get going. Millions of dollars. And we're going to the 10th floor. We're heading down to the 9th floor, the 8th floor, and then stop.
Boom!
The elevator stops. And we think, okay, hold on a second. Maybe someone's getting on. But no one ever gets on the elevator.
And no one damn sure gets off the elevator.
The elevator's stuck on the 8th floor. And you know it's stuck because you look through the cracks and all you see is like half floor and half wall. And you figure, oh my God, this elevator's stuck. And you know what? Part of me was thinking, God, don't they manage their elevators? Don't they maintain this stuff? But part of me knew that the Millions of Dollars Dance, which I don't understand, man. Las Vegas is on the West Coast. They get earthquakes. And I know you and I are, you know, we're not a buck 25. You know, and at that time,
not anymore, at least
not anymore. But I mean, dude, add us all up, 300 pounds of weight stopped that elevator in its tracks.
Yeah, at that time, I would say 300 pounds. Now, granted, the capacity on these elevators is 3,000 pounds, and it stopped at 300 pounds.
So we're in the elevator, and finally, when we realize the thing stopped because of what we did, we hit that call button. And that lady's like,
hello, can we help you?
And it's like, ma'am, we seem to be stuck in your elevator.
Okay. We are actually sending a maintenance crew up now. We see you in the camera and, please stay calm.
And it's like, I don't know about you, dude, but, you know, I realized, okay, they know where we are. We'll get out of here. The only thing I was worried about was missing this damn club crawl.
Yeah, yeah, because we were already late as it is, and going down the elevator, getting stuck, there was no way we were going to make the beginning of that club crawl. There was no way.
Yeah, and the beginning of the club crawl is when everyone meets each other, you get loosened up. It's actually a vital part of that thing, so I was pretty pissed that we were going to miss that.
Dude, it's beer pong. Who the hell doesn't love beer pong?
Yeah, yeah. Then the lady goes, you know, and this, I guess, was a Saturday or something. So it's like, it's the weekend. So the elevator guy, you know, we have to call him in. He's on. I'm like, how do you not have an elevator guy on site? It's like, well, it's the one elevator guy that gets people out of elevators in all of Las Vegas.
Really, lady? Are you serious? And so we're just sitting there, stuck in an elevator, wondering, how the hell are we going to get out of here? And we start talking to each other. The thing that kind of tipped me off to what may have been going on was when the lady said, "We see you in the camera."
I said, and see, I'll be honest with you, man. When she said that, I was like, good, she knows we're here. So I don't know. I took comfort in that.
But then, like I said, started thinking, she says, "We see you in the camera." Jay, what makes you think that they didn't stop the elevator on purpose?
You know, it's been close to 7 years, and after 7 years of thinking about this at least a couple times a year since then, I am convinced that's what they did. I mean, those elevators have to be earthquake safety enabled and things like that. So you would think two people shouldn't be able to stop an elevator.
Yeah, so we're stuck in this elevator, and what, 35, 45 minutes have gone by?
Probably close to an hour.
Close to an hour has gone by. I'm going to tell you right now, in the whole time, I did not hear any maintenance work being done on this effing elevator. We were just stuck there.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, the elevator light turns on, and it starts taking us down to the lobby.
Ding.
And it's like, thank God, we're getting out of here, and we're going to, you know, if we rush down to this meetup point, we're going to start this club crawl on time.
But as the elevator starts going down, it stops.
And the doors do not open.
And it goes and takes us back up to the floor that we started on.
And it's like, please, God, if it gets us up to that floor, just let the doors open. We'll get out. We'll take the stairs down if we have to.
So the elevator takes us back up to what, the 15th floor is where we were staying at? I think the 15th floor?
Yeah.
The elevator's open. And I swear to you, outside waiting for us, outside of the elevator, is a freaking rent-a-cop that, if you've ever seen, what's that movie it's that guy that dresses up like a rent-a-cop, and I think he's like Doofy or Doofus or something like that.
Yep.
And I swear this guy looks just like him.
So it's him and I guess two management guys from the hotel. We step out, so we're like two bats out of hell coming out of that elevator trying to just get out of there after an hour. And the guy's like, "Hold on, buddy. You know, just want to make sure everything's okay. Here's a couple of bottles of water. Why don't you sit down here, you know, over here in the lobby of this floor, and let's talk about it. You know, make sure everything's good." And we're just like, "Oh, God." And they're like, what happened in there? It's like, "Hey, listen, we were trying to make go out tonight, and the elevator stopped, and we were stuck in there for an hour. I mean, this is ridiculous." And he's like, yep. Okay. Well, we were reviewing the video, and we saw some horse playing in the elevator. And I think what he said was, "This elevator, this elevator maintenance, because they have to call a guy to come out there and all this stuff, you know, wasn't because of an elevator malfunction. It was because of user error," is what I think what he said.
User error.
So at this point, I mean, you've seen Vegas movies. you've seen guys, you know, pull people out of casinos and stuff like that.
Can I just mention that these two management guys looked exactly like Chow from The Hangover?
And the two management guys are just like, you know, we have to call a guy out here to pull the elevator down. You know, unfortunately, we'll have to charge you, you know, for this, you know, this whole ordeal. And we're just like, oh my God. And I don't know about you, man, but I was thinking, let's just do what we got to do to just get out of this situation. Especially, you know, if what we did was so wrong, I didn't want them kicking us out of the hotel or throwing us in jail or anything like that. So I was like, all right, whatever you guys got to do, what is it, a $50 charge? We'll do this. Let's get on to the club crawl. Well, here's the thing, man. So we go to the club crawl. We try to salvage the night. Obviously, this thing put a damper on the whole thing, man. But 2 days go by, and it's time to check out, right?
And so we go down to the front desk, and we go to check out. And she's like, oh, how was your stay, guys? And we were like, yeah, it was great. It was great. You know, had a lot of ups and downs. But, hey, you know, we had a great time. Great time. And she says, well, so far everything looks good here. And, oh, wait, something else is coming in. And her eyes just light up as if she just seen a deer in headlights. And she says, well, you gentlemen actually do have a bill. And hands us a $600 elevator bill.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think when we checked out, she processed the room charge, right? And before that, I don't know how that elevator charge came in, but it got, like you said, it faxed in a little bit later. But we thought we were in the clear. She was like, okay, gentlemen, I think we're good here. Hold on just a minute. And I knew as that thing was coming out of that printer exactly what that was. I just didn't know how much it was, but $600. Yeah.
If anyone's out here listening, or for those who are out here listening, have you ever had a $600 elevator bill on your room tab?
How come all of our stories always take us back to that one city on the West Coast, Las Vegas?
Yeah, you know, again, we went to Las Vegas, what, 3 times?
Yeah.
Again, man, we had such a good time. We had a better time than what we ever thought that we could have had going to Vegas. And somewhere between those 3 trips, man, I just can't believe how all these stories just, I guess, came to fruition.
There's more to our friendship than just going to Las Vegas, even though that amounts for 95% of this podcast. But it just seemed like those 3 weeks over the course of those 2 years, man, the things we did out there. And again, I mean, I know we're teasing you guys with these stories, but we're scratching the surface on this stuff. You know, keep listening to this podcast and maybe you'll hear all of them one day.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I mean, but it's not even the Vegas stories. You know, we've got other stories that we'll be sharing with you as well. But I guess with this particular story, I think this one takes us back to, I think this was our third trip, our second or third trip to Vegas. I think it was our third trip.
No, I think this was the second one, actually.
And I
know that because I was keenly aware of my dental insurance. at the time. Yeah, maybe one day we will tell the dental insurance story. So this one goes back to, and if you heard the previous podcasts, you know about the club crawls in Las Vegas. So the first two stories kind of center around the club crawl, and this one does as well. So we're on the club crawl. This is the first one we were on in, I guess that was October of 2011.
Yeah, 2011.
And so we're on the club crawl. So the club crawl is basically 4 or 5 different stops. you go into one of the nightclubs in Las Vegas. What was it, maybe 45 minutes max, and then you move on to the next club?
Yeah, basically, you know, you don't find out till later, but it's an easy way to make different companies in Las Vegas quite a bit of money. Because, as Jay said, you go into one stop, you dance, you mingle, you do whatever. Once that time is up, that group is going to either a different bar or it's going to a different nightclub. But basically, what the club crawl does is it takes you down the strip of Las Vegas so that you can see a lot of the clubs in small increments.
So on this particular night, we start off kind of on the south end of the strip. And we, I think, start off at a club in the MGM Grand. And I don't recall the name of it.
I recall the name of it. I believe it was called Studio 54.
It was the it was kind of a remake of the original Studio 54 in New York City. So allegedly, it was basically a replica of Studio 54, the legendary one. I remember that club. It was actually pretty nice.
Yeah, so we go to the MGM Grand and we go to Studio 54, and I'm thinking, you know, we're going to walk in and we're going to see, you know, I guess a lot of throwback to the old Studio 54. I'm thinking the place is going to be packed. I'm thinking, you know, hey, this is going to be awesome. But I guess to my dismay, we walk in. And of course, you know, we walk in with the group or whatever. And that club is dead.
Dead. Absolutely dead. I mean, I think we may have stopped by that place once before that earlier that week. And we saw that it was dead. But it was during the week. So we figure it's like, okay, by the club crawl, by the weekend, that place is going to be jumping, and it wasn't.
Yeah, and it kind of sucks because, you know, I feel bad for, I guess, what do they call them, go-go dancers, the ones that spin on the rings and stuff like that? Yeah, so, you know, I feel bad for them because there's maybe, before we come in, there's probably three people inside that place. And, you know, they have to put on a show. You know, they have to act like that place is the hottest place in Las Vegas at that moment in time. And, you know, they're doing the best they can, and there's three people in there. And, well, you know, we basically, we were in there for our 45 minutes to an hour. You know, it was okay, but, you know, nothing too impressive, I guess I would say.
So we move on, and we head over to the Mandalay Bay. That's the next stop in the club crawl on this one. And for those of you who know about Las Vegas, the Mandalay Bay is situated right across the street from the MGM Grand, but you have to cross the street, and you got 40 drunk people that you have to cross the street with. So these tours basically have a whole route set up, and the way to get over to that side of the street was this monorail that they had set up down there on the south end of the strip.
That's right, monorail!
Monorail, monorail, monorail.
I hear those things are awfully loud.
It flies as softly as a cloud. Is there a chance the trap could bend? Not on your life, my Hindu friend.
Yeah, so the way the monorail works is the monorail actually runs on the backside of the strip, away from, I guess, all the hoopla to be able to take people from hotel to hotel, I guess, without having really to have to walk. So really, I guess, in other words, it's a more efficient way to get from hotel to hotel. Instead of having to walk, and it kind of gets us, all us drunk people, out of the limelight of what is, I guess, the Las Vegas Strip.
So after the first, this is the second stop. So after the first club, you know, you're having fun, you're loosened up. You're at the point now, if you weren't already mingling and talking with other people on the tour, you're definitely at this point in your communication and social level. So we step onto the monorail.
I guess loosened up in our terms is we're probably about four shots deep of Patron.
So pretty loose. It's pretty loose.
So you can call us pretty loosened up. You can call us a couple sheets to the wind, man. I whatever you want to call it, we're heading to the Mandalay Bay. And so we get on the monorail, and there's probably 45 or 50 of us on this monorail. Now, granted, you know, there's 50 people on the tour. Yes, you know, at some given point in time, you may have seen the 50 people, but not, you know, directly having conversation with them. And when you walk from location to location, you know, people go up further, they get further behind. So you tend to be able to start conversations with different people. And again, we're all packed on one train. And
lo and behold to me, there's like these four hot blonde chicks that get on this monorail. I didn't even know they were part of our tour.
Probably me neither.
And so they get on this train. I'm like, oh my gosh, these girls are hot. And one of them I distinctly remember was dressed as Tinkerbell. And so, hey, man, I'm a couple sheets to the wind, man. What the heck do I care at that point in time? So I go up to her and I say, hey, you're Tinkerbell. And she, I guess, some way, whatever. I'm telling you the story as best as I remember it.
Well, she, I think she acknowledged the fact that she was dressed as Tinkerbell.
Yeah, yeah. She acknowledged the fact that she was dressed as Tinkerbell. And the way she said it, I noticed that she had a specific accent. And I said, wow, I really like your accent. I said, where are you from? She said, well, I'm from Canada. I said, really? You're from Canada? And Jay, I don't know if you remember, man, but you and I just start breaking into song.
Right. And, you know, it wasn't planned. It wasn't like we whispered something. It was a spontaneous reaction. I mean, if you could really put a stopwatch on it, it was milliseconds of reaction time before we busted out into this song.
And the crazy thing is I think the reason that we were both able to read each other and start singing was the fact that you and I are two best friends and that we just know each other that well.
But here's the funny thing about that. I mean, that's absolutely true, but we're two best friends. But I think on that train that night, we had 40 best friends. Because when we started singing, two other people started singing. And then two more. And then four more. And then eight more. And then 16 more. And then 20 more. And then 24 more. There were 40 people on that train.
In unison.
Singing this song in unison. Yeah, man, it was a good night. I'll never forget it. This is an unbelievable story.
Hold on. Did we actually say what the song was that we sang?
Dude, oh my God. We never told them what song it was. Yeah. Hey, man, we're world-class podcasters, I guess.
Yeah, first class.
Yeah, hey, do you want to tell them what song it was?
I have one better for you. Do you want to sing what song it was?
Dude, I don't know if we have the music. I don't know if we have it queued up. Oh, wait, here it is.
Our home and native land. True patriot love. Man, with glowing hearts we see thee rise, the true North strong and free. From far and wide, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. God keep our land glorious and free. Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee. Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee. Dude, no lie, still to this day, I count that night as one of my top 20 nights of my life, of all time.
Let me ask you something. Prior to getting on that monorail, did you even know the words to the Canadian National Anthem?
Tequila's a wonderful thing.
Those were three classic Vegas stories, and as Johnny would probably tell you, there's more where that came from. I look forward to the best of the Two Best Friends Las Vegas Edition Part 2. And please check us out on Twitter at 2WO Best Friends, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, and SoundCloud at 2WO Best Friends. We'll talk to you next week with a brand new show.
Thanks for listening to the best of the two best friends, Las Vegas. And when you're 2WO, you're 2WO for life.
The preceding announcement has been paid for by two best friends.